What does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? You can answer me if you like. What's a Christian? Follower of Christ. Somebody who has forgiveness of sins by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always like to think about, when I think about Christianity, is I know God now. When we sell someone on the idea of considering their soul salvation, we like to talk about, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Well, we're not there yet. It's more likely get their attention if we talk to them about the here and now. To know God today. You can know God today and have a relationship with Him in which you can refer to Him as your Father. And that's a pretty awesome thought. Because we know God now, we desire to please Him, or we should. So we become followers of Christ, as Al said, followers of Christ. The commission in Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The next word is teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I've commanded you, Jesus said, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe. That means to do what he taught, to live out the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Now, he'd been 3.5 years with his apostles, and he says, I want you to go out and I want you to live what I have taught you. And I want you to teach others the things that I've taught you and have them to observe them, to do them as well. So as followers of Christ, it should truly concern us when the ways and the words of the Lord, that is His teachings, teaching them to observe, when His ways and His words are being distorted. And they are in our day. There are people who believe everything. And in the name of Christianity, they say they believe all sorts of strange things. And you just wonder, what Bible do you read? Well, the truth of the matter is they don't read the whole Bible. They just take out little portions of it and listen to somebody's comments on it and follow their twisted logic and come to some conclusions. Somebody said the church is becoming so worldly and the world is becoming so churchy, you just about can't tell the difference anymore. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, when you're in the wherever you go, the places you normally venture out to from home. Can you tell the difference always between somebody who would say they're a Christian and somebody who's not? It's hard, isn't it? You don't know. They use the same language. They look at the same things. They talk the same way. They go to the same places. But what's the difference? Among churchgoers who probably would call themselves Christians, some are saying that right and wrong is determined by the time and the circumstances. But it's not, is it? No, the right and wrong is determined by God. There are moral absolutes. They're long-standing. They're all up to God. Some people are teaching that God has changed His mind about some things. You know, He said it this way in the Word, but God can change His mind. And that's called open theism. It's a growing doctrine. You don't hear it right here, but you will. You will. Some, and maybe most, say it's all right for a young couple to live together before they get married. And now people who call themselves Christians are thinking, well, maybe you don't need to get married. I mean, what difference does it make? Some say that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. Some men think it's okay for them to call themselves women and some women for them to call themselves men. It's a crazy world we live in, isn't it? Things that used to, you'd say, there's no way. Nobody would ever say that in public. And now everybody says certain things in public. Truth and error are at odds in this world in which we live. There's a battle that rages around us between light and darkness, between good and evil. And because we're believers, we're sort of caught in the middle. But we shouldn't be in the middle. We should be on the Lord's side, on the light, on the side of light and right and God. And more it's becoming necessary, I believe, for us who call ourselves believers to be different, to dare to be different. You follow my logic here? If we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to be different. The Bible says, and you can look at this passage, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. The difference that we can exhibit, can amplify, if you will, that difference can draw people to the Lord. And it does, most definitely, draw people to the Lord. Here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of man." It's just dirt if it's lost its saltiness. He follows that with another metaphor. "Ye are the light of the world." Verse 14, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, the salt and the light is supposed to attract people to our God. And it will. But salt and light is different. It's not the same as everybody else. It's different. It's sort of, it's light shining in darkness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 is a great example. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, if they're unsaved, they also may without the word be won by your conversation," your lifestyle, the lifestyle of the wife. It's a pretty interesting thought, pretty awesome thought, that somebody can just be attracted to the Lord by watching you. But only if you're different. You see, if you're just like everybody else, it's not going to change them. They're not going to want to know what's different about you because there is no difference. They see no difference. I think we've come to a time to where we need to examine ourselves and see if we're as different as the Lord would have us to be. Abel was different before he was killed by his brother. He was different. Noah was different, wasn't he? Different from everybody else in the world except for his own family. Abraham was different. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. And he decided he would obey God when all of his kinfolks and all of his neighbors, everybody in his land, they were idolaters. But he was gonna follow the commands of the Lord God Jehovah. Abraham. Joseph was so different that his brothers threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. But he was different when he got in Egypt too. He was different in Potiphar's house. He was different in the prison. Everybody recognized that difference. And what did they do? They lock him in shackles? No, they gave him responsibilities because they knew God was with him. They could tell by watching. Brothers and sisters, we need to make a difference. And to do that, we'll have to be different. David was so different that he was called a man after God's own heart. Elijah, John the Baptist, were they different? Oh, if you could have seen them. They were different, and they were bold in their faith. Different in their dress, yes, and their mannerisms, yes, but they were different in their faith, in their boldness to speak the truth, whether the congregation wanted to hear it or not. Jesus, well, he was different too, wasn't he? He was a God-man. You would expect it of him. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." 2 Corinthians 6:17. The question here is, what happens to those who refuse to be different? Think about that just a minute. What happens to Christians in the world who refuse to be different from the world? Who refuse to stand apart, come out from among them and be separate? What happens to those people? The Bible says, "Be not deceived." Evil communications, taking part with. Evil communications corrupts good manners, good morals. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Well, the reason's quite simple, isn't it? It's sin equals death. Sin results in death and destruction. It always does. It always will. If you're going to act like the world who doesn't know God, if we're going to watch what they watch and listen to what they listen to and talk the way they talk and go the places they go and refrain from going the places that they don't go, that works both ways, right? If we're going to do that, then we're not going to make any difference for the cause of Christ. We're going to be less than what we were intended to be, which means we won't have joy. There'll be sin in our life, and sin will cause destruction eventually. I'm just a raindrop. I was born in the sky and settled into the hillside, there to dance in the sun and sparkle and nourish green and growing things. But there are other raindrops on the hillside, and they invited me to join them for a downhill romp. And we became a chain of raindrops, thus able to travel faster. And what do you know? Soon others joined us until we became a stream. Now remember, I'm still just a drop of rain. And yet the other drops say that I'm important to them, and they are important to me. And together we hasten downward toward the beautiful forest. The grass bends in our path, and soil beneath us begins to crumble, until my companions and I are carving out a pathway farther and deeper, until we are tearing little gullies in the earth, and then big gullies. I'm just a little drop of rain. It's my friends who have the power. I'm just along for the ride. Ahead, a towering tree stands majestically at the edge of the forest. Soon my friends and I are playfully ripping the soil from the roots and the roots from the rocks. And lo and behold, the great tree comes crashing down in front of me. For a long moment, the tree lies motionless, face down, defeated and dying. But then my friends and I are under and lifting and moving the great tree, carrying it before us as a huge battering ram. Nothing can stop us now. I wonder if I can stop myself now, or even if I want to. Into the forest we plunge, my friends and I, and our battering ram tree. Other trees grouped together stand their ground. From us they can see that their strength in numbers, and our numbers are greater. Our battering ram is sideways now. We raindrops get behind and push with all of our might. My friends and I are learning the strength and the weaknesses of trees, eroding the soil, denuding the roots. And you leave them with nothing to hold to. So soon, we are a raging torrent. And they and we and the turncoat tree are thundering toward the sea. And I'm frightened. I'm just a little raindrop. But I'm soiled now. How did I become a part of this? I never wanted to be a conqueror nor destroyer. I only needed to be needed. I only needed to be one of the crowd. Down there ahead at the end of the valley, oh, dear God, that's a town. I will not be a part of this any longer. Now my friends have gone too far, far too far. I'm stopping right here, right now. But I can't. I can't stop. And I'm no longer me. I'm something different than I ever meant to be. It took 1,000 million gallons of water, they say, to drown that town that day. So don't blame me. I'm only one drop of rain. You see, we become a part of the world. We can easily just blend in to the rest and go with the flow. You've heard that phrase. Go, just do what everybody does. Everybody who calls themselves Christian. You see, we don't need to gauge what we are and what we do by those who call themselves Christian. Why settle for that? Let's gauge ourselves by the Christ. Because when we put our eyes on other Christians and they put our eyes on us, any one of us could move and the whole group would go in that direction. And rather than be beneficial to the cause of Christ, we could become destructive. Brothers and sisters, look at your life. Not mine, not your neighbor's, not your husband, your wife, your kids. Look at your life and try to determine, am I going with the flow? Am I less conservative, less spiritual? Have I given up any ground gained for the Lord? Am I more like the world than I used to be? We need you here at Corinth Baptist Church. If you would help us to make a difference for Christ, then you have to be different. We'll have to be different. We can't be like the world. You see, the world's wrong. The world is worldly. We'll have to be different. We'll have to be like Christ. Did you ever wonder what it would be like if the Apostle Paul could be here? Would he enjoy Corinth Baptist Church? What if Jesus could be here? What if Jesus came in bodily form and came to this world today? Where would he fellowship? I mean, we're spiritual, right? We've kind of arrived. We've gotten to the place. We don't need anything else. We're already there. Brothers and sisters, I think if we could stand in the face of the Lord Jesus, we'd all fall on our faces before him and say, undone. Let's measure ourselves by the right yardstick. That would be Jesus Christ. Not others. Not pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists and not the best Christians. You know, look at Christ. How do you measure up? I think we'd have to say, I don't measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Are you working on it? Or are we going the wrong way? I'll leave you with that question. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the day and the opportunity to be here and share these brief thoughts. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to be salt and light in this world in which we live. And Lord, I do pray the same for each of us. I don't know how willing others are. I struggle at knowing sometimes how willing I am myself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And tell me, Lord, show me the things that need to be accomplished there, the wicked ways that might be therein. And Lord, I pray that others would have that same desire before you, and that you would make us what we ought to be for Jesus' sake. It's in his name we pray. Amen.